What a bizarre ending. An empty tomb, a strange young man in white, and the pronouncement which sounds absolutely ridiculous. Don't be alarmed. Okay. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Is it any wonder that the women fled in terror and told no one? That they had no idea what they were seeing. This was outside of their reality. The last thing they expected when they came to the tomb that day was a rolled away stone. And even if they had expected it, they certainly didn't expect some guy in white to be telling them about Jesus. But this ending of silent terror sounds nothing like Easter. Where's the happy ending? Where's Jesus? Where are the disciples? Where's the ascension? Where's the earthquake or the fainting guards? Where's the journey to Emmaus or the fish breakfast on the lake? Mark's ending seems more suited to a movie by Alfred Hitchcock or David Lynch than a first century author writing in Marketplace Greek. And if we're unsatisfied by Mark's ending, ancient readers were too. If any of you have brought your Bibles today, if you look in them, you'll find two additional endings that were put there by early copyists. They too wanted a clear, unambiguous Easter where Jesus actually shows up. They wanted their closure. But there is no closure in Mark's gospel. That's because when it comes to the good news of Jesus Christ, we're only at the beginning. How do we know this? We go back to the beginning of Mark's gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. We read it in church about 4 months ago. It reads, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Mark's gospel showcases the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the beginning of the kingdom that he came to establish. It was never intended to be a perfect, complete history. It's just the beginning. Even though the religious and secular powers have their way with Jesus, even though they kill him on a Roman cross, he won't stay conveniently buried. He won't stay out of the way. Not even his death can bury the truth of the gospel. We know this also because the young man doesn't just say, "Jesus is risen, now turn those frowns upside down." No, he says, "Tell Peter and the disciples that he is going on ahead of you to Galilee." A specific place. Jesus hasn't just risen out of the earth and out of our lives. That would have been the kind of ending people in the ancient world would have expected. For the Greeks and Romans, Hercules ascended to Mount Olympus. In the Old Testament, Enoch and Elijah didn't die but were taken directly to heaven. That was the kind of ending people would have been used to and what they would have expected, not Jesus. Jesus goes ahead of his disciples to Galilee, to a place on earth. He goes ahead of them to meet them there, even Peter the denier. Jesus returns to the place he began his ministry to make a new beginning. Not just for himself, but for all of humanity, all of creation. And because he is risen, because he is still with us, we have this new beginning in Christ as well. Granted, it may not seem so. The world is pretty scary these days. We seem to be on a path to self-destruction. Humanity at times seems determined to bury itself and take creation with it. The so-called doomsday clock of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists stands at 90 seconds to midnight due to nuclear, climate, biological, and even AI risks. The closest it's ever been. We're also in a time when certain leaders from around the globe seem to have messianic pretensions. And perhaps saddest and scariest of all, we're in a time when we're more isolated from each other than ever. Cut off. Living in non-overlapping realities, fed by various silos of information. When we look at the world, it is truly impossible to believe on our own that we have this new beginning in Christ. But it is not impossible for God. If Mark's gospel shows us nothing else, it's that nothing is impossible for God. There's no remedy for a scary, unsettled time like this scary, unsettled text, ironically enough. Jesus has broken free of death. Jesus has turned the order of the world upside down and is going ahead to Galilee. He has gone to hell and back for humanity, for us, giving his life a ransom for many, as he said. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us behind. But he goes on ahead of his disciples, both ancient and modern. It is the end of business as usual for the despots and the empires of the world, the end of the old order of things. Though the women do flee in terror at the initial news, we know that they did eventually say something. We know that because we wouldn't be gathered here today if they hadn't said anything. They spoke of what they heard and saw. They voiced this new beginning, this new way of being. They experienced it for themselves. Once Jesus was out of the tomb, there was no stopping it. The world would be forever changed. Even Paul, who we heard from today in his letter to the Corinthian church, a notorious hater of the early church and a murderer of its members, would be drastically changed, completely changed by this news that Jesus is risen. Jesus is on the loose. Jesus is going ahead of us. He is with us even now in our broken world. Jesus is with us and is going ahead of us. Wherever we may go, Jesus will be there to meet us. And so we no longer need to fear about what may lie ahead. We no longer need to spend hours worrying, what if this or that happens? And as someone who sometimes struggles with anxiety, what a relief that is to let that go. To let that go, to know that Jesus is always there and Jesus is going ahead of us. Even in time. Whatever happens, he's already there. He gave his life for us, for you, and for me. Now Jesus is risen, and death has lost its sting. Jesus is risen, and we live with him. Jesus is risen, and we can face anything that may come our way. Jesus is risen, and his good news is just beginning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, take away our unfaith, our fears, and everything else that keeps us apart from you and our neighbors. Assure us time and time again that you have won us for yourself, and that in us, your church, the gospel, constantly has a new beginning. Amen.